So, when I shared with you back in March, I chose as my core verse Ephesians 2, verse 10. And I'm just going to repeat that now. That verse, it says, "We are God's masterpiece, created in Christ for good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do." So you and I, all of us, God's masterpiece, created in Christ for good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. So you and I are loved. You and I are known. You and I are seen. Here's a statement. God has created each one of us for a love relationship with him. That's why I was kind of saying I find it amazing that we can praise God and Jesus. We sang those songs. And we look up and we exalt, but also he came here among us. He's not just distant, he's here. He's here today. I remember about 20 years ago, my wife and I were having a cup of tea. It's about 7 in the morning. In the midst, you know, we've got 5 kids, busy times, you know, having a cup of tea before the day starts. And she asked me this question. She said, "When you woke up this morning, Silas, did you know that God loved you?" And my reply was this: "Well, I haven't done anything yet." Interesting, huh? And she said, "Well, there lies your difficulty." Which is true. You see, she knew that she woke up every morning knowing she was loved. And I was waking up, and I was a pastor of a church, so surely I should know. I was waking up feeling I needed to earn God's love. How do each of us here feel today? Do we feel loved, known and seen? Or do we know in our heads that that's what we're meant to feel, but in our hearts and in our emotions within us, in our core self, the story's a little different? Do we catch ourselves thinking, "Well, if I can just sort this thing out or that thing, or just do this, this and this, and then it'll be fine"? But the problem with that is that there is another thing to do. There's still another job to be done. God created us for a love relationship with us. He loves us. He knows us. And he sees us. Zephaniah 3:17, which Jenny read to us. "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Saviour. He will take delight in you with gladness, and with his love he will calm all your fears." That was in I'm reading the NLT version, New Living Translation. "He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." He was joining in singing this morning. He's here. And he's singing over each one of us. Jesus had a secure identity. How do we know this? Well, the answer can be found in the scriptures that Jenny was reading to us this morning. Let's now look at the lengths that God, our Father, so there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. I know it's difficult for our minds to get around it, but three in one. They're all in the purpose together. And look what happens. You see, God our Father, Jesus' Father, went to great lengths to ensure that Jesus, our brother, knew that he, when he was on earth, knew that he was loved, known, and seen. How do we know that? Because the scriptures we read this morning, or Jenny read this morning, say that. It says, after his baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. Jesus saw this happen. And a voice, audible voice, at that moment, from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Wow! To have your Father saying that to you. My Father, wonderful man that he was, never said to me, Son, I love you. He never said that. He did a lot of things for me. He was an amazing provider. He inspired me. But he never said those words to me. And he never hugged me. But he was brought up in a generation that they didn't do those sort of things. But boy, was that painful. Because I wanted that. But I honour him as a great dad. He was a great dad, my dad. But in that area, I was lacking. So God the Father, with an audible voice, says, this is my Son, my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. And then, later on, Peter, James and John, three of the disciples, we move to Matthew 17, the transfiguration, which is when they're up on the mountain. I love Peter, he's always trying to organise things. He said, oh, let's do this, you know, let's build a shelter. You know, I love him in the character Peter. And I think I would have been doing that, you know. But Peter says this, Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Just imagine sometimes, you know, when it's bright sunlight and then something, suddenly a cloud comes and you can see it. Or almost like sometimes on the beach, wonderful things where suddenly we see this shaft of light, you know? Suddenly, boom, and you go, whoa! A bright cloud overshadowed, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. And he says more this time, listen to him. Wow, to have that affirmation. Jesus, so his Father says, hey, bang, I'm just going to say it to him again. Son, I love you. I'm proud of you. And he's saying to these three guys, Peter, James and John, hey, listen to him. He's got the keys. That is why Jesus was secure in his identity. Because his Father said this. His Father was saying, whoa, this, he's the one, he's the business. And he knew it. Do we know today that we are loved, we are known, and we are seen? As soon as Jesus began his ministry among his closest followers, he set about the task of assuring them that they knew they were loved, known and seen. It's almost like the foundations of the Christian journey as disciples, right at the beginning. You need to know James, Peter, Nathaniel, Andrew, Philip, Mary Magdalene. You need to know you're seen. Jesus knew that. An example can be found here in John 1. It says this, John 1, verse 42 to 49. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. Simon, the root word means a reed, flaky, a reed. Peter, a rock. Identity, straight away. You think you've, I don't know, maybe we could always take that a little bit further, a little bit flaky. You know, if you look at Peter, he did some great things, but he also did some things which were a little bit flaky. Fear of dying, so he denies Jesus 3 times. What does Jesus do? He doesn't look at that. John 21, straight away, he doesn't even say, "Jesus, Peter, you plonker, why did you do that?" Straight away, he just calls him back to his original design. He says, "Feed my lambs." He looks at us through eyes that we often don't look at ourselves through. He looks at us through these eyes that we're masterpieces. And so, he said that to Peter, and then he says, he found Philip, and he said to him, "Come, follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." And look at the response here. Nathanael says, "Nazareth? Can anything good possibly come from Nazareth?" So in one sense you can say, well, he's a bit of a grumbly guy. I remember when I was young, it was Bognor Regis. Can anything possibly come? You know, it was that sort of thing. So straight away, quite a defensive person, Nathanael. He's got a little bit of... Philip replied, "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus says, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel. A man of complete integrity." He didn't start by saying, "Now here's a guy who doesn't really like the fact that I'm from Nazareth, but now I'll say something nice." He just straight away, he says to him, "Here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." And Nathanael says, "How do you know that about me? You never met me. How do you know that?" And Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Philip must have been going, "Flip me. I was sitting under a fig tree half an hour ago." He sees us. Jesus sees us. Wow. Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God." Because he must have been going, "Wow. He sees me." So Jesus gave Peter a new identity, simply in a name change. And in that story of Nathanael's calling to discipleship, we see that Nathanael, though skeptical at the start, responds to an encounter, being complimented. In 2004, I spent the first 6 months in bed. I was ill. I was exhausted. Being a pastor, leading a church for 3 years. I was pretty sort of burnt out. Because I've been doing. And the things I was doing was fine. They were good. But I was living out of doing. That's true. I'm just checking my timings. Right. Cool. And then in the midst of that, I got a phone call one day from a man called Anthony. He said, "Silas, I think I'd love you. You need to come to Seattle. We've just been to this great conference." And I thought, "What? How can I get to Seattle?" And I said, "I can't go to Seattle." And he said, "No, you come out here." I said, "I can't go to America. I've just had 6 months where the church has been missing me, and I'm feeling guilty because I'm ill. Blah blah blah. And no way can I go to Seattle." About a month later, he called again, and he said, "Me and Ed have been praying, and we really do think God said to call you, to say to you, go to Seattle." And he said, "In fact, we're so convinced, we are paying for the cost of the conference, and we're paying for the cost of your flight there and back." So my wife said, "Yeah, go." And on the first night when I was there, as part of the conference, at the end, every person who was at the conference got prayed for. And there were four people who prayed for me. There was a young couple who were in there, just got married, 22, 23. There was an 18-year-old man, who's 18-year-old guy with serious cerebral palsy. And there was a 14-year-old girl from the youth group. And they prayed, and they just said, literally this simple question, they said, "Father, when you made Silas, what was his design? How did you make him?" I'd never been prayed for like that before. And they paused a bit and they waited about 5 minutes or so. And then they said, "This 18-year-old man with the cerebral palsy, rather than share his prayer thoughts because he couldn't speak very well, he held up a piece of paper. And on this piece of paper was a drawing of prison bars. And he pointed at me, and in his broken, stuttering words, he said, 'You work in prison.' And I started crying. For 6 years, I'd been working in a young offenders prison in Bristol. I'd gone 3,000 miles away, and a man with cerebral palsy, who's never met me before, heard God say to him, telling him he works in prison. I see him." He was basically, I felt seen. I was born into a Christian family, for which I'm grateful. But my mum was deeply rejected by her parents. And my father too as well. And they held that. It was still within them. There was a brokenness within them. And my mum was a doer. She would have this phrase, "Just tell me what you want me to do." She used to say it to my dad, "Just tell me what you want me to do." In the last few years after my dad died, there were three years, and I had the privilege of being able to just nurse my mum as she was coming to the end. And I just knew I just had to affirm her day in, day out. "Mum, you're loved. I love you." My dad was an amazing dad, and they had an amazing marriage. But I was the one who God used to just help to know how much she was loved. It wasn't just about doing. So, it isn't easy to hear, if you've been a Christian a long time, that actually it's not all about doing, because we're wired to do, and it can be almost our identity. But my message today for all of us is that primarily we are known, we are seen, we are loved. This is the journey I'm on. It's actually quite a new journey, but it means that on a daily basis, I know a little bit more about what Jesus said when he said, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." I worked for many years under a burden that was really doing a whole load of things that I don't even think God wanted me to do. I was just doing lots and lots of things. I was burnt out. And I think the difference is that Jesus wasn't fearful of man. He didn't have to do loads of things. He did what he heard the Father say. And the first thing the Father says is, "I love you. I see you. I know you." And then out of that position, we can peacefully exist in a world which, to be honest, is pretty chaotic. But we don't have to get driven by it. We don't have to get out of control. We can be cool. We can be calm. We can be at peace in the midst of a storm because we know we're loved. We're seen. We're known. That's why Jesus can hang out in the back of a boat in the middle of a storm and go to sleep. We can do that in the middle of storms. So, how do we start doing this? Actually, to be quite honest, when I was in the prayer room there, I was listening to the way we pray for one another, the way Jenny and Del, Dennis, Dudley, as you were praying for one another and for the people here, I can tell you really love people. It's a privilege to be here, to be in that prayer meeting this morning. You love people. So our prayer now, let's finish in prayer. Father, thank you that you love us, that you see us, that we don't have to do anything today. Could just stay, just do nothing, and you would still love us. You see us and you know us. And Father, as we go from here, we go about our daily lives, would you help us to see people who don't know they're loved, who don't know they're seen, who don't know they're known. And through the words that you give us, Father, for them, like that man gave me those words about being in prison, working in prison, that extraordinary thing. May the people we bump into, may they feel, may they know that they too are seen, are loved and known. And from that place begin to explain to them, if you choose to do it that way, the full riches of the Christian life. Would you use us to speak your words of life to other people? In Jesus' name, amen. And shall we pray just a little bit more? Father, as we head into another week here in Milford, just for ourselves, may we be reconciled to the truth that you love us and you have good plans for us. Sometimes, Father, our circumstances, it doesn't look like it's good. It's hard. But would you work in our inner being to know that despite our circumstances, to know that love and to see you working despite the challenges. And may we carry the spirit of reconciliation in our hearts to all whom we encounter this coming week. And Father, in this troubled world, where fear and hatred and unforgiveness is rife, we pray for the raising up of men and women in all nations who carry the spirit of love and reconciliation in their hearts. Father, it's been mentioned this morning that, I think in a prayer time, that you've got the whole world in your hands. Lord, you have. And we welcome you, wherever we are, to do your amazing work.